Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Well, good morning and welcome to our service of worship on this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Today's homilist is Archdeacon Liz, and we're so happy to be back with you after a time of hiatus, and we're very grateful that you've taken time to join us as we worship our Creator. Let us pray.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the Day. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. May we find peace in your service, and in the world to come, see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who was enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines, castanets and cymbals. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place, inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women. To each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Entrance into the Temple of David, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord, and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and he lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
A reading from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. He has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said it's Elijah, and others says it's a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when King Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. So she went out and she said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of the John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, Yet, out of regard for his oath and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. My sermon is based on the Gospel of Mark, the death of a conscience. This passage is one of the saddest in the Bible. It records the events surrounding the death of John the Baptist. He was a special man, chosen for a special mission. He was the forerunner of the Messiah, was considered to be a powerful preacher and a fearless prophet. He was a true man of God. As Jesus Christ himself testified in Matthew 11:11, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. But in today's passage, it has been suggested that there were actually two deaths revealed, the death of John the Baptist and the death of Herod's conscience, which was seared and never being sensitive to the Spirit of God. While this text reveals a tragic event in time, it also reveals valuable lessons for everyone here today. Lessons having to do with making haste decisions. Have you ever heard of the expression by Sir Walter Scott? Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. This phrase is indeed tragic when applied to someone who is completely trapped in a web of sin of their own making. So here we encounter Herod, who embodies this quote rather well. Sometimes the decisions we make in haste bring to the forefront our pride and ego that can and will cause sin to overpower our better judgment. We've learned that when we give our word, we are to stand by it. James tells us that yes is yes and no is to be no. But what happens when we make a decision that turns out to be wrong? I'm pretty sure that we've all had the times when words were spoken that we wish we could take them back because we regret the promises we made. We tend to rush to empty commitment, shallow promises, or strike bargains we have no intentions of keeping. In verses 17 to 20, we have the incarceration of John. We learn that Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison because it was for John's sake to keep his wife Herodias from killing him. For you see, Herodias was married to Herod's brother Philip, but Herod killed him, divorced his wife, and married Herodias. In Palestine, John had encountered them and issued a judgment against them for what they had done. And now, because of his public denouncement of their marriage, Herodias hated John and wanted to kill him. And this is the reason Herod took John into protective custody, as he truly didn't want anything to happen to John. He just wanted John to stop telling him that his behavior is sinful. The web has been woven. By putting John in jail, he keeps him away from his wife. Over the years, Herod was quite intrigued with John's preaching. He doesn't really like what he is hearing, but he does know the difference between right and wrong. Mark tells us that in his own way, Herod feared John and knew that he was a righteous and holy man. But Herod would never make his true feelings known about John. He was only interested in his words of truth. He would not admit that the truth John shared brought conviction. Herod still refused to submit to the Lord's will. There are many like Herod today in this regard. Of course, they would never admit it, but they know God's word is true. Some enjoy hearing the word preached, but they are not ready to abandon the life of sin or are very intrigued by the word. For Herodias, an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet to his lords, his high captains, and leaders of Galilee. With the party atmosphere, the wine flowing, and the pride of a powerful, boastful king, a man driven by his ego, it was a perfect time of opportunity for an evil, scheming person to take advantage of the situation. She knew that a young, attractive dancer could dance into the hearts of all who were in attendance and to favor the king. She knew her daughter's performance would please Herod, and anticipating the accompanying reward, Herodias already knew what she would have her daughter request. And what was her request? The head of John the Baptist on a tray. From Herod's mouth came the words, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom." Full of alcohol and lust, Herod promised something that wasn't really his to give. Yet he boasted by offering extravagantly in front of his guests. His emotions of the moment are overpowered by his better judgment. The words have been spoken but cannot be taken back. In verse 26, the king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Knowing it was wrong, Herod commanded the execution of John to be carried out immediately, and his head be brought on a platter and delivered to Herodias. Pride and arrogance has caused much devastation. Many agreed to actions that are simply wrong because they refused to admit their own need. It's sad to know how bitterness and hatred, left alone, will grow and fester until they lose all compassion for others. Herodias prompted such a senseless murder because of hatred, and pride hindered Herod from preventing such a tragedy. Herod was so entangled in the web of human relationship and people pressure that it pushed him into doing something he really didn't want to do, even though he knew it better, but he did it anyway. Dear friends, we are all faced with many kinds of decisions every day, some big, some large, some small. Let's not be like Herod and cave under pressure. We need to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. If you don't know it, don't do it. We always have the opportunity to choose grace and stand up against a decision we know is wrong, even at the risk of disappointing a loved one. Because really, every decision we make is an opportunity for grace. We can choose to let grace in or reject it. Herod had an opportunity to welcome grace into a situation, and instead he rejected it. He chose to satisfy the group of people around him and not his own conscience. I'm sure there's something else we can all relate to. Have you ever made a decision where you felt like you caved into the social norm and didn't follow what you knew to be right? I know I certainly have. But this is the gift of the gospel reading. It calls on us to really think about our decisions. If we would frame every decision we make as a chance to let grace into our lives, then we might start making different decisions. Herod had an opportunity for grace, but he decided against it. He decided to kill John the Baptist. So let us all learn from Herod's mistake. Before we make a decision, let's ask if we are making our decision to protect ourselves or to build up the kingdom of God. Personally, I would rather build up the kingdom, even if it means missing out on something really good and gossipy. Amen.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for this gathering, for all bishops, ministers, and people. Pray for the church. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Spirit, the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified. Receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before you, for all members of your holy church, that in our vocation and ministry, we may truly and devoutly serve you. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, for the well-being of all people. Almighty God, kindle, we pray, in every heart the true love of peace, and guide with your wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that justice and peace may increase until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. Gracious God, the comfort of all who sorrow, the strength of all who suffer, hear the cry of those in misery and need, and give us, we pray, the strength to serve them, for the sake of Him who suffered for us, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I ask your prayers for those who have died in the peace of Christ, and pray for those whose faith is known to God alone. Pray that God may be glorified in all the saints. O God, the giver of life and eternal life, we give you thanks and praise for the wonderful grace and virtue declared in all your saints. Grant to us and to all who have died in the hope of the resurrection a share in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ and fullness of joy in the fellowship of all your saints. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us give thanks to Almighty God for all of God's goodness. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. You are worthy to receive blessing and praise, now and forever. For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. By spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.
O force in the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit,
thanks be to God. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.